Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, in this episode, we'll be moving on to segment two of Peak Performances, reviewing some of the top individual efforts from the Packers in games 5 through 8, the second quarter of the 2016 regular season. And actually, it kind of starts right away with a couple of big outings from that Thursday night game against Chicago at Lambeau Field. You had Ty Montgomery and Davante Adams both putting together big nights. Just to give you the numbers, Wes, Montgomery, 19 touches, 9 carries for 60 yards, 10 receptions for 66 more yards. And then Davante Adams, 13 catches for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. Some big individual efforts there in a 26-10 Packers victory.
Yeah, I mean, how do you pick between them in terms of which one really stands out the most? When you look at Adams' day, I mean, that was one catch shy of Don Hutson's franchise record for single game receptions. And then Montgomery, I remember talking, and we did our conference call with John Fox at the end of the season when the Packers played down in Chicago, and he said the Packers actually caught them off guard by how they used Montgomery. That was the first time. We've seen it, you know, little bits and pieces of it, but that was the first time where substantially we saw him line up in the backfield, and unbeknownst to everyone, his conversion to running back was well underway. I mean, that was going to be his future. That was the plan. And the Packers certainly needed that performance with all the injuries that were mounting with Eddie Lacy and James Starks. And I think a lot of times people always talk about, oh, you know, trick plays and being creative and catching people, you know, unknowingly with something different. That's what the Packers did with Montgomery in that game, and it went a long way in that victory.
Yeah, it kind of gave us a taste of, now he didn't evolve into the role quickly, but it gave us a taste of what we were going to see from Ty Montgomery later in the year. I remember specifically in that first Chicago game, I believe it was a draw play. He ends up running 30 yards kind of right up the middle.
Right.
And I remember sitting in the press box kind of going like, oh, he actually does kind of look like a running back, yeah. You know. And we hadn't really seen that. I mean, yeah, we'd seen a little bit of here and there on the practice field, but it was sort of like, oh, you can just take a draw handoff right up the middle and make a couple moves and break a couple tackles, and all of a sudden he's got a 30-yard run. It really was an eye-opener, I thought. And then you look at Adams in that game, actually 3 players for the Packers with double-digit receptions in that game, Montgomery with 10, Randall Cobb in double digits, and then Adams with the 13, as you mentioned, one off of Don Hutson's record, which was 14 receptions set back in 1942. So real close to hitting that, but also Adams getting 2 touchdowns in the game, really taking advantage of the Bears having to dig deep in their depth chart at cornerback, and you could see Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams got real comfortable with the matchup, and Aaron just kept feeding him the ball, and Davante had himself a big night.
Yeah, even though the numbers, I mean, when you look at the actual points, it doesn't jump out to you, but I thought it was one of the more dominant performances the Packers had offensively because they really beat them in so many different ways. It was kind of a whack-a-mole situation where you had Adams producing on the boundary, you had Cobb doing some positive things in the middle of the field. And then Montgomery, as you said, Mike, can beat you in the middle if he's running between the tackles. You can split him out as a receiver. There was different things that he was doing as a runner and receiver out of the backfield that I thought really made it difficult for Vic Fangio and the Bears defense to be able to counter. And it was funny. Afterwards, I remember Jordy Nelson had 1 catch for 9 yards in this game. And everybody, a lot of media people afterwards were asking Nelson, like, hey, any concern? You know, one catch for 9 yards. And Nelson was like, no. I mean, it's going to be somebody else's day, and as it turned out, Nelson had 1 heck of a season. But for those 3 guys to step up the way they did, I think kind of sort of got a feel and an idea for what this offense was capable of when people were healthy.
Yeah, and it's easy to forget from this ball game too that when Aaron Rodgers got sacked near the goal line, fumbled the ball, the Bears recovered it in the end zone. Chicago Bears were beating the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field with a backup quarterback, a third-string quarterback, actually, as it turned out, with Brian Hoyer getting injured in the game and them turning it over to Matt Barkley. There were some anxious moments in that game, and it was actually Montgomery's 30-yard run off the draw play, which was right after the sack fumble touchdown, kind of jump-started the offense, and they started to find a little bit more of a rhythm with the short passing game and as you said, attacking kind of all areas of the field. and putting together a solid second half on offense to put the game away.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really think we're going to talk about this more, I'm sure, in the offseason, but the way that the Packers have cross-trained Montgomery, I think that's pretty innovative. I could see that being something that, you know, kind of becomes more the norm in the NFL, because as Atlanta's shown and a lot of these teams have shown, even New England with James White, it's becoming really critical for receiving, for running backs to be receivers as well and to be able to make an impact there. Usually the guys that are unaccounted for are the quarterbacks and the running backs, and the Packers did a great job both with Rodgers' scrambling ability and what they could do with Montgomery the second half of the season of really making defenses pay in that way.
Definitely. Well, with that, Wes, we've got more peak performances to talk about after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. We're continuing our discussion of peak performances from games 5 through 8, and fans can check out the video on Packers.com. Also vote for their favorite in the poll on the website. But Wes, performances 3 and 4 of this set of 5 both come from the Atlanta game. Down at the Georgia Dome, October 30th, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, it starts there, playing without Ty Montgomery, without Randall Cobb, without Jared Cook. Aaron Rodgers found a way to keep this offense rolling and put up 32 points, unfortunately 1 point short of a victory as it turned out, but 125.5 passer rating, throws for 4 touchdowns, 246 passing yards, also 60 yards on the ground with scrambles, as the Falcons really didn't pay much attention to him as far as the outside the pocket stuff. And, you know, really a pretty vintage Aaron Rodgers performance, even though it came in a defeat.
Yeah, you really had to go back and think about this game, because I know a lot of people look at it and go 33-32, a win for the Falcons, and the Falcons were able to obviously continue upon their streak that they had going into the second half of the season that ultimately got them to the Super Bowl. But for the Packers' perspective, this was a difficult game because this obviously was the first one in that 4-game losing streak. But yet, there were a lot of positives to be drawn out of it. Ty Montgomery, I think everybody expected him to play in this game. Well, he ended up having the illness that he missed. It was a game-time scratch. Randall Cobb, typically everybody's expecting him to be on the field. He sits with a hamstring injury. Same thing with Clay Matthews. So this was kind of a big day of adversity, both on offense and defense. And as sort of became kind of the symbol for the second half of the year, Aaron Rodgers was the constant. He was the guy that made it all work. And you had Trevor Davis getting his first career touchdown pass, Jeff Janis' first regular season touchdown catch, and then Geronimo Allison getting activated, I think, earlier that week. Then he gets his first touchdown reception. So this was sort of a game in which Rodgers had to make it work. And even though their backfield was Don Jackson and Nile Davis, Rodgers, you know, put it all together and put together a really competitive offensive performance.
Yeah, I thought this was a sign of really what the Packers were going to have to deal with for a while personnel-wise on offense. And as you said, it was finding a way to make it work. It was finding a way to still move the ball, move the chains, get some points when you didn't have, you know, all of your favorites out there. You didn't necessarily have all of your veterans out there. And to do it on the road in a noisy place, you know, Aaron Rodgers a lot of times is comfortable in those domes and whatnot, but when you just look at the personnel that the Packers had on the field to go and put up 32 points in that game, it was an impressive outing. Unfortunately, not enough to get the victory, as the Falcons ended up scoring with 31 seconds left, and Rodgers you know, couldn't quite put together that final field goal drive that might have been able to win that game. But then also, you mentioned Trevor Davis. And he's the other peak performance here from this game, the rookie fifth-round draft pick out of Cal. Not only does he get a touchdown, but a 55-yard punt return that sets up a score. And really the first time that we saw a significant impact from the speedster out of the Pac-12.
Yeah, and he didn't, you know, obviously with how deep they were at receiver, didn't get a lot of opportunities earlier in the season. But this was a game where he needed to step up. And first off, talking about that punt return, I mean, that was an area where the Packers, going back to 2015, had really struggled in. And I think Ron Zook and everybody would tell you that. They didn't get the production they wanted out of that part of the game. And it ended up resulting, I think, in them having like a 15-yard long return in 2015. Well, then you get Trevor Davis, and everybody knows how fast he is and the speed that he brings to the table. That was one of his biggest strengths coming out of Cal, and puts together a big performance there. And then the 9-yard touchdown reception, to remember that, I mean, it was sort of off a scramble drill a little bit. Rodgers directs him kind of by the pylon, throws it only where Davis can catch it, and he made a great play on the ball to get in the end zone. So when you don't have Randall Cobb, when you don't have Ty Montgomery, it was going to take Geronimo Allison and Trevor Davis stepping up, and both of those guys certainly carry their weight on offense.
Yeah, I like what you said about the touchdown catch there at the pylon, because it's easy to say, oh, he got his first NFL touchdown. It was not an easy catch.
He had to work for it.
Yeah, he definitely had to work for it. As you said, it wasn't necessarily planned to go that way, but a little bit of an improvised scramble drill, and not an easy catch with a defender right on him and making sure you keep the feet in, and the pylon right there. Those actually, I don't know if you've, have you ever like kicked or,
oh, yeah,
or fell? Those hurt.
They don't give.
Yeah,
It's not a soft little pillow.
Yeah, no, there's some heft to those. But joking aside, a good performance from Trevor Davis, and I know we didn't really see much of him again the rest of the season, but we did see why the Packers spent a fifth round draft pick on him and the potential that, you know, with some more seasoning in the NFL, get a full, you know, spring in and an off-season program, learning the offense and everything. There's a potential bright future here for this kid.
Yeah, the last, I think it was 6 or 7 weeks of the regular season, he only had one snap. But, you know, when all the injuries mounted for the Packers in the playoffs, Mike McCarthy came out and said, I mean, they have a lot of confidence in Trevor Davis that he could come in there and step in. And, I mean, you're going to see this with a lot of young receivers, and I would imagine as time goes on here, you're going to see some of those, as he gets to learn more of the playbook, as he starts to digest more of what the offense is doing. He definitely has a lot of playmaking attributes that you have to like.
All right. Well, with that, Wes, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we continue our discussion of peak performances for the Packers from games 5 through 8, we look at the Indianapolis game. Unfortunately, another loss for the Packers, this one coming at home. But hard to ignore safety HaHa Clinton Dix getting two interceptions of Colts quarterback Andrew Luck in the first half. Unfortunately, the Packers didn't take advantage of both of them in terms of converting both into points, but they did convert one into some points as they tried to rally from an early deficit. But a sign of the type of year that HaHa Clinton Dix would go on to in the second half of the season, where he earns his first Pro Bowl nod, and these two interceptions against Andrew Luck were pretty good plays.
Yeah, big plays, big time plays. And something that we noticed over the course of the season, when you look at Clinton Dix's game and just the overall knowledge of it and where he had really made the biggest strides, was just the awareness factor of, you know, being over the top and in those positions where a guy like Luck, he might be trying to make a play over the middle of the field, but if the ball's overthrown, being able to be in the right spot. And that's, I think, one of the biggest strengths that Clinton Dix had, and it was really exemplified in this game. Just being able to obviously make some marquee plays and things that only certain players can do, but also just also being in the right place at the right time and really executed with that. And yeah, as you said, this is probably will end up going down as the most difficult loss, obviously outside of Atlanta, for the Packers this season, because they did so many things well. There were so many things that went right for them, but it just didn't end up in a W. And the play of Clinton Dix, when you look at him in this season, I think it certainly stood out and really kind of was the starting point for the year that he was going to have.
Yeah, he ended up having another two-interception game later in the year against the Chicago Bears, against Matt Barkley down in Chicago. His fifth interception of the regular season was against the rookie Carson Wentz in Philadelphia.
Right.
The reason I think this one stands out in terms of a peak performance recognition is because it's against a quarterback like Andrew Luck. This is an accomplished NFL quarterback, been to some Pro Bowls, done some things in the postseason for the Indianapolis Colts. And as you said, Andrew Luck is a dangerous guy, and HaHa Clinton Dix gave the Packers defense an edge early in this game. Unfortunately, it didn't continue through the four quarters, but seeing him get back-to-back interceptions against an accomplished guy like Luck, I think, really set the stage for what was to come the second half of the year.
Yeah, and the big narrative going into that week, too, was how much Luck had been protecting the ball this season and doing a better job of being smart with where he was throwing it. And in both of those instances, I think there was just a few kind of kinks or sort of deviations away from his mechanics a little bit that led to some opportunities. And you have to remember, too, Mike, I mean, this is this first half of the season. Takeaways were difficult to come by for this Packers defense.
That's
right. There were conversations. I remember talking with Micah Hyde and a couple guys in that secondary about the ball's just not bouncing their way. They watch the film. They see places elsewhere in the league where the ball just kind of ended up in guys' hands. And the Packers, they weren't really getting those opportunities. So for them, I think it was an important game, and certainly important for a guy like Clinton Dix, who had had a lot of success in the playoffs his first two NFL seasons. I think he had two or three picks already in the postseason, but really hadn't had a whole lot of chances at them in the regular season. And, yeah, ended up finishing with five, tied for most among safeties. I believe he was the only guy in the league, though, that had two games of two interceptions off the top of my head. So,
yeah.
You know, really big-time performance from him. And really, when you look at the secondary and how much shifting and changing there was, the fact that he played 1,237 snaps the entire season, including playoffs, did not miss one on defense, that was huge for this group.
Yeah, that's remarkable to not miss any snaps all season long. And this game against the Colts might have gone down as Clinton Dix's best game of his career had he been able to get that sack of Andrew Luck on that third down late in the fourth quarter. The Packers had rallied from way behind. You needed to try to get one more stop there, give Aaron Rodgers the ball back one more time, and maybe Green Bay can pull out kind of a miracle victory. And Andrew Luck, a big guy, just, you know, shook him off when Clinton Dix, he times his blitz perfectly, but isn't able to get him on the ground, and the pass is complete, and it moves the chains. And Clinton Dix, knowing the type of player he is, he probably remembers that more than the two interceptions that really should have put the Packers in a better position to win early on.
That was kind of what he said afterwards to the locker room, that his ultimate regret is not being able to wrap up Luck. Not an easy task. It's really underrated how big he is.
Yeah.
And obviously a tall, lengthy, and solid quarterback. He's not easy to take down. And for Clinton Dix, just came a little bit too fast and just a little bit too much around the corner. Fortunately for him, as we'll probably end up talking about later, he ended up getting a few more in Chicago that the Packers did pay off on.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, Wes, let's take care of a little bit of sponsor business. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we've gone over all five of the peak performances from games 5 through 8 of the regular season. Fans can vote for their favorite on Packers.com. We've got Ty Montgomery with 126 yards from scrimmage, rushing and receiving against the Bears. Devontae Adams, the same Bears game, 13 catches for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers in Atlanta, 4 touchdown passes, a 125.5 passer rating, and 60 rushing yards. Trevor Davis in that same Atlanta game, a 55-yard punt return and a 9-yard touchdown catch for his first NFL score. And then HaHa Clinton Dix against Indianapolis with the 2 interceptions in the first quarter of Andrew Luck. So, as I said, fans can vote for their favorite on Packers.com. You have a vote here?
Well, I think I probably tipped my hand a little bit during this segment, but the Ty Montgomery one is going to stand out to me as one of the peak performances of that stretch and of that entire season. And the reason for that goes back to what I said about John Fox. It's so few and so far between that you're able to catch teams off guard in the NFL. And when you can, it's really important that you show it, and you show it well. What was impressive about Montgomery is not only did he have the production he did, which, I mean, it can be expected. He's a talented young man. The Bears didn't know what was coming. They were able to capitalize on that. But in the weeks going forward, it was interrupted by the Atlanta game when he had the illness, but he still became an impactful player in this offense the rest of the season. Ty Montgomery in that performance, I think, really stands out. When you look at his entire season, I know the next game against the Bears was even more impressive, but at that point of the year, with the injuries that they were dealing with at running back, the fact that him and Randall Cobb were the featured backs in that game,
that
says a lot about Montgomery and the Packers game planning coaching staff.
Yeah, I think the fact that he was able to perform that way, you know, a Thursday night, primetime game under the lights at Lambeau Field, it's a division opponent, the Chicago Bears, and being thrown into a role that he hadn't really settled into yet. As you said, it caught the Bears off guard. Well, Montgomery's got to do some adjusting just to feel comfortable in order to perform that way. So I like what you said there. To cast my vote for a different one, I'll stick with the same game, that Chicago game, and go with Davante Adams. Just really from the standpoint of the 13 receptions, you're talking about Don Hutson leading the having the top spot in the Packers record book for single game receptions with games with 14 and 13 receptions way back in 1942, and Davante Adams hits that 13 number, you know, 74 years later, if my on the spot math is correct there, and but getting in the end zone twice and just seeing his confidence level in the sense that he was owning his guy across the line of scrimmage. He knew he had the advantage. Aaron Rodgers knew he had the advantage, and the Packers just exploited that advantage for all it was worth for the bulk of that ball game.
Yeah, and Mike, there's guys that have big-time performances that really stand out and play well in a given week. So few and far between, though, are those guys that really cannot be stopped. On that day, Davante Adams couldn't be stopped. And I don't know what it was like in 1942 trying to defend against Don Hutson. I have to imagine it was maddening.
Yeah.
But the Bears' issues trying to defend against Adams in that game, even the attention they gave him, he still was producing. Two touchdowns on his way to 12 for the season. One big game and a big season for Adams.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, with that, Wes, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted and Peak Performances for the second quarter of 2016. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.